And welcome to the Football Foundry, sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. I'm your host, James. I'm joined by Matt.
Hello there.
Hello there, good sir. How are you today?
I'm very good, Squire. How are you?
I'm all right.
Good.
I've had a couple of coffees. I'm raring to go.
Wired.
A bit like Big Sam, to be honest, because, I mean, where else to start other than Stamford Bridge? Mm-hmm. Because it is falling down. Well, it fell down, let's see, because I think it's just a blip, but I mean, to do it against West Brom, I mean, they played Atletico Madrid, they've played Liverpool, they've played some big teams mm-hmm. whilst Tuchel's been in charge in these 14 games, and West Brom, with the team to slot five past them, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, unexpected, a tad unexpected.
Unexpected, but do you know what? The quality of goals that were actually scored, they were like, you wouldn't put West Brom in that relegation battle if you look at the goals that they scored in this game.
The way they played was definitely miles above a team that's at that end of the table.
Like, I watch Callum Robinson quite a lot because of him obviously being at Sheffield United. And I never knew he could play football like that. He had a really good game, and both his goals, the finishers were like as if he'd just got his 20th goal of the season.
Yeah.
Like, the guy was on fire. And what's his face as well, that Brazilian guy?
Pereira.
The other Pereira to add to the long list of Pereiras. He was good as well. Like, just the all-round West Brom were smashing it.
Yeah, man. No, you can really have point fault at anyone at that team. They played extremely well.
Definitely. Still quite a long way to go for West Brom, though. I mean, big 3 points, indeed. But it is still a big ask. You could almost say it's quite impossible for him to do it. But you never know. I mean, Big Sam's been in situations like this before. He's never been relegated before. He knows what it takes to do it.
Indeed.
And if they're playing like this, my Christ, they're going to be perfectly fine.
They should be fine. But whether they can this sort of performance every week, and they're not going to be always playing against 10 men every week as well. So it's
it's a weird one because Thiago Silva got sent off, and it did kind of change the game. But Chelsea were 1-0 up.
Yep.
And this Thomas Tuchel side have been quite well known to nick a goal and sit on it.
Yeah.
To an extent, because they've not been great at scoring goals. They've not been relying on their goal scoring.
Yeah.
They've been relying on shutting teams out since he's been there.
Yeah.
And it's been working for them. They've been doing it against Atletico, both legs. They smashed it.
Yeah.
You'd think going 1-0 up and then going down to 10 men that potentially could just sit on it. But West Brom were just too good.
1-0 up with about 25 minutes gone on when everyone was Thiago Silva got sent off. You wouldn't want to sit on it, but
true.
You're still the home side, and obviously Chelsea 10 men against 11 men of West Brom, you still fancy Chelsea to an extent.
Yeah, you would.
So
yeah. Like, just to put it into context of this result for people that don't quite understand the situation. Chelsea have been unbeaten in 14 games since Tuchel took over.
Yeah.
They conceded around like 2 goals or something like that in those 14 games. Like, they've been a hard team to break down.
Yeah.
And the teams that they've faced as well, they've not even been like relegation candidates or anything like that. Like, they've been good teams that they've been playing.
Yeah.
And to have only conceded 2 goals and then to go into this and concede 5. Like, Jesus Christ, it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah, definitely a complete turnaround from the way that they have been playing, and obviously the previous results they've got. Obviously, as you said, this is Tuchel's first defeat, so unexpected, especially against West Brom. So, strange.
I love Big Sam's fist pumps and everything from touchline. He was loving it, Big Sam.
Absolutely.
Big Sam is the man with a plan. That is what's happening.
Yeah,
West Brom is safe. They're safe now, that's it. He knows. He knows what he's doing. He's gonna sign someone like Jermaine Defoe and they're gonna be sweet. Let's talk about Chelsea though. So do you think it was the red card where it all started to fall apart for Chelsea?
You'd have to look at that. 100%.
Do you think it was? Well, it was a second yellow, wasn't it, really? But do you think it was?
Well, at that point, they were winning 1-0. They got a man sent off and they went on to lose. So you could definitely pinpoint the red card being an issue.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also think it's just how they tried to rally together and just couldn't.
Yeah.
Because one of the goals, I can't remember which one it was now, but one of the goals, Mason Mount is the furthest player back. He tracks someone back.
Mm-hmm.
To a point where Aspilicueta's sort of not even in the final third.
Yeah.
Like, he's just sort of jogging back. Someone like Aspilicueta, of his longevity with Chelsea and his obviously commitment to Chelsea, you'd think would be the first person back to that.
Yeah.
Out of all that defence, he's been there the longest. He should be setting the example, so to speak. And it was non-existent. And when you've got your longest serving defender that's playing like that off form,
yeah,
there's going to be blips and there's going to be problems. And I think, did they reshuffle it to a back four? Because they play with a back five, don't they, Chelsea, with the wing backs?
Yeah.
And I think, did they drop it to a back four?
I can't remember if they made a straight substitution after Thiago Silva was sent off. So if they didn't make a sub, I'd assume they'd go to a flat back four.
I can't remember who they even took off to, you know, to like make the adjustments. I can't remember who it was. Oh, was it? It was Ziyech, wasn't it? They took off to.
Who did they bring on
to make the? That I don't know. That I do not remember. Great football podcasting.
Yeah.
At its finest. But yeah, I don't think they adjusted well to the rejigging formation after red card and. It quite clearly showed because five goals, getting shit. Not great. West Brom, though. Honest question. Honest answers only. Do you genuinely think West Brom have got what it takes to stay up, or do you think it's too little, too late?
If they play like that every game, they can definitely make a great attempt at stopping up, but I don't see them staying up. No, I don't see it.
I think it's a little bit too late to be pulling in these kind of results. I mean, if we're talking middle of March, sort of early March, if they got a couple of decent results like this, potentially, yeah. I think there was still a lot better chance, quite clearly.
Yeah.
But I think now there's what, 8 games to go, is there?
Yeah.
7 games, something stupid like that. And I really don't know. I mean, it's going to be a real close one. It depends what Fulham's form's like. I mean, if Fulham and Newcastle's form drops really bad and West Brom keep winning, they'll be out of it and they'll be sweet.
Yeah.
But I think this relegation three, obviously, let's be real, Sheffield United are just done.
Yeah.
They're not even in this podcast. We're not even talking about them anymore. They don't exist to me right now. Then we've got West Brom, then we've got Fulham, and then Newcastle, and then Brighton, I want to say. Only one of them is staying up. Like, there's no one else that's going to get dragged into this, I don't think. I think Burnley and Southampton are the next ones around it. But I think they've got enough to sort of stay up be okay. I don't think they'll fall into too much trouble. But Newcastle and Fulham. For me, it's between Newcastle, Fulham and West Brom.
Yeah, agreed.
They're the three that I think are going to battle it out, but I think West Brom's chances are the worst. Obviously, Newcastle have got the best chance of staying up because they're already out of the relegation zone. They've got the power play. But we'll talk about each of those teams coming up because this is a bit of a relegation sort of fixture look at chat kind of thing. Southampton, Burnley. Let's talk about the two that we think are going to be all right.
Okay.
3-2 finished Southampton. And I mean, this is their second win in the Premier League since getting beat 9-0. Only their second win.
Yeah, they've had a bad run.
So it's. Yeah, it just emphasised. When was that 9-0?
Against United. Oh, God. A while ago. Not months ago. Easily months ago. Couldn't tell you exactly.
Yeah,
when.
I mean, we're looking. Well, Southampton were top at table. Let's. Like.
They were.
There was a point in time when Southampton were leading this Premier League title race. Obviously, it was like November time, something like that. But I think it was shortly after that that they did get hammered 9-0.
Yeah.
Around Christmas time, maybe, something like that.
Could have been. Could
maybe
have been.
January. I can't remember, but I know it was quite a while ago and they've only had two Premier League wins since then. So, I mean, yeah, it's not looking too brilliant. But this is their second Premier League win. And they got it against Burnley, who are around their sort of position, which is obviously big result, looking at the circumstances. Huge. But the quality of goals on display again in this game, a bit like the West Brom-Chelsea games, were top draw. There were neat flicks, there were turns, the runs in behind, the brilliant finishes. Oh, there was just so much about this game with the goals. Obviously, except the penalty, because the penalty is just a penalty, you know what I mean? the actual other goals that were scored in open play were brilliant.
Yeah, like Danny Ings' goal, obviously, faint-shotted and put Tarks on his arse and slotted it past Forster, which was a great goal. Not Forster, sorry. Pope, that's not an own goal. But,
Good say, really that desperate for a goal.
Plus he passed his own goalkeeper. But no, a lot of good effort. Obviously, James Ward-Prowse's effort hit the underside and came back out, which was easily going to be a good goal.
That would have been delightful, wouldn't it? The angle that he took that at. Yeah. Oof. Just hammered off bar. It looked like it had gone in, but obviously goal line technology and that. No. I like Stuart Armstrong's goal, not going to lie. The little flick from Danny Ings and then the drill into the bottom corner.
That was a great take.
I do actually want to talk about Stuart Armstrong, though, because he's quite quickly become a very, very consistent Premier League player. And he's not talked about at all.
Yeah, he's just a solid player. It was like when Leicester were flying and it was Mark Albrighton was just in that team, but no one was ever talking about him. But he was consistent every single week, putting in a great performance.
He'd always pick someone out with a cross, Mark Albrighton.
Yeah.
He'd always play the right pass. That season where Leicester was smashing it, he'd always play the right pass. And I feel like Stuart Armstrong's a bit like that, isn't it?
Because obviously he's done well since they got him from North of the Border. He's always played well, Stuart Armstrong, and he's a good player.
He's always popped up with goals as well. Yeah. And he's honestly never talked about. You've got all this talk about Danny Ings, you've got Che Adams always being talked about, James Ward-Prowse. Who else have they got in that squad? I mean, Vestergaard gets talked about quite a bit. Redmond as well. Yeah, like there's... But you've got such a quality player. How old is Stuart Armstrong? He's not too old, is he? He's mid-20s, isn't he?
Could be. I don't know. Top of my head, to be fair, on that one. I don't know how old he is.
I can't think either. But he's still, regardless of his age, he's a top quality Premier League player. And I mean, if Southampton can keep hold of him, he's quite key to them going forward. Yeah, because
he definitely helps the way they play, 100%.
Definitely. Like, he's quality. I like him, mate. Southampton, though, I reckon one, maybe two more wins, and they are just completely out of this relegation talk. Completely.
Yeah, they're definitely... I don't see any danger of them getting relegated at all, but to be mathematically safe, another win would probably do it for them.
Yeah. And as far as Burnley goes, maybe about three wins, something like that. I mean...
I don't see Burnley going down either, but yeah, like I said, to be mathematically safe, obviously this defeat puts them back a win, but
yeah,
a couple of wins.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if form below them keeps picking up, I mean, they could find themselves sucked into it, but I don't know, I think they've got enough to stay up, haven't they?
Yeah, totally agree.
Speaking of form and getting sucked into things, Newcastle against Spurs. Newcastle are basically going to be fighting tooth and nail for each and every single point that they can possibly get on this board, because after quite a respectable finish last season, and we were holding his hands up and saying we got Steve Bruce wrong, we thought he were going to completely flop, he wasn't the right man, he actually did an alright job, and they were playing some decent stuff. But I don't know if you've heard about this whole polls thing that's gone round about if the fans want to see the manager in charge next season, and 95% said no, they don't want to see the same man in charge next season. 95.
Yeah, it doesn't really surprise me.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Have you, by any chance, got like a I don't know, like a cup in a tumble dryer?
No, I've just got a cat.
it sounds like you're washing some metal.
I keep trying to knock her away, but there's something on the back of my desk that she's playing with, but I can't even see it. I keep kicking her to go away, but she keeps just coming back.
Fair enough. Just clearing up the noise, that was all, in case it's... I don't know, it just sounded like you were washing your radiator or something.
No. Washing my radiator.
Where were we at? Oh yeah, Newcastle, Steve Bruce. Do you think he'll be there next season?
No.
Think they're going to make a change? See, I don't know, because it literally depends on where they finish. I think if they get relegated, he'll stay.
Oh God.
But I think if they stay up, they'll look at getting someone else in.
I think he needs to go either. I don't think Newcastle fans would accept if they got relegated and they kept him. I don't think they'd accept him if they stayed up and they kept him.
I agree with what you were about to say, if he needs to go regardless. But thinking like Mike Ashley thinks, cheap options. Let's save as much money as possible. We've just been relegated. Don't want to be paying compensation fees and stuff like that for terminating his contract and all this. Bringing someone else in. Let's just stick with him and go from there. That's just the way that I think Mike Ashley would think. I don't know.
No, I get that. Obviously, he's tight. He's probably a polite way to play it. And if he can save a quid or two, he'll do it.
Exactly.
So I could see it happening, but yeah, Newcastle fans wouldn't accept it.
Yeah, they'd be uproar. And I'm pretty sure if there's a stadium that he's thankful there's no fans in at the minute, it is St. James's Park, because... it would just be carnage at the minute.
It would be horrific. Horrific to be a fan there at the moment.
Yeah. But I mean, this result itself against Spurs, drawing 2-2, I would consider it a decent result for Newcastle. Not only did they score two goals, which is decent for Newcastle, Joel Linton scored.
Yeah. Wasn't a goal either.
Exactly. It was an alright taken goal. His fourth goal in 62 games. That is money well spent.
He's not an out-and-out striker, but he's still expecting to get a few more goals.
Do you know what, though? Why don't they use the fact that he's not an out-and-out striker and play him like they did today? He sort of played a bit of a false nine, swapping with a winger as well.
Yeah.
And it worked. He dropped in deep, he picked the ball up, he played people through. He had Almiron running on and whoever else running on, who else was attacking?
Richie?
Oh, it was Murphy. Murphy.
Jacob Murphy.
They were providing the pace for him, and it worked. Play him like that. Use him as a false nine. Liverpool do it with Firmino. He don't get 40 goals a season or all like that.
Definitely not.
That contribution to the other goals that makes him so successful in that role. So use him like that. Yeah. Like, I don't get it, but that's how I would use him anyway. But I mean, I don't know. It definitely worked in this game because Spurs didn't know what to do with him.
No, it's definitely Jolinton's best. Personally, I thought it was his best game in a Newcastle shirt so far, and he did give Spurs a lot of issues. I mean, he should have scored more than what he did, so definitely showed some promise, 100%.
Definitely. And I mean, if they're going to get the best out of him, they need it to come now, because, like we've been saying, they're on a huge decline at the minute, Newcastle, and they are the ones that can be caught out by Fulham or potentially even a West Brom. If their form keeps up after this win against Chelsea, they will be the ones that get sucked into it and suffer. But it's something good for you, Matt. So everyone knows that no one likes expected goals at all. It's just a pointless thing that they've got. But Newcastle were expected to score four goals. Four goals. They had 22 attempts, which is like some serious, serious signs of improvement from Newcastle, because
although
they had 22 attempts and like less than 10 on target, they're still getting the chances. They just need to put them away. And it's just getting that balance. But the fact that they had 22 attempts is a massive improvement, and they just need to work on getting in net. I mean, that could be an uplift in itself. And even if they just keep gathering draws together and a couple of wins maybe here and there, they'll be all right. But it's whether they can keep doing that.
Absolutely. Like, obviously, they've not been playing this well in the previous matches, so it's whether this is now an upward trend or it's just a fluke. So,
yeah. I mean, it could even just be down to that Joel Linton role that he played. You never know. You never know.
Yeah,
Jose Mourinho's comments after the game. He was asked situations that he's been in at previous clubs, etc. And his response was, "I am the same coach. These are different players." What do you make to that?
You're saying that he's still top and his players aren't as good as he has been had in previous teams, is what he's saying there.
Pretty much. That's Mourinho at his best. What do you think he's wrong with his Spurs side? Because, I mean, there isn't that much of a difference to when Poch had them in a Champions League final.
Probably defensive issues, personally. Yeah. I don't think you can name their best, their starting back four at the moment. Like, changes quite a bit, so I don't think he's set on his defence.
I'm just going to put
and
this
Lloris
out there.
Lloris is getting a bit worse. Oh. He's getting older as well, and it might be.
Do you know what? That was really weird. I was literally about to say, I'm just going to put this out there. I don't think Lloris has got it in him anymore. No. And then you said that, saying he's getting a bit older and he's not quite as good as he once was. But yeah, I think it's maybe time for change. I rate Lloris, but I just don't think he's got that in him anymore.
I think this summer they need to have a look at the goalkeeper and look at the defence, because obviously they've lost Vertonghen. Alderweireld's getting on a little bit as well. Davinson Sanchez, yeah. Then they've got Serge Aurier, who's as defensive as a chocolate fire guard. Regulon, I do quite like Regulon.
Regulon has been a good addition. Like, do you know what I think they should go for?
Who?
Yerry Mina.
From Everton.
Yeah, Colombian partnership. Could work.
Could work.
Two big guys at back. Because Sanchez is quite quick as well, isn't it? I mean, Yerry Mina's not quick, but Sanchez is quite quick. So you got one for height, one for pace, and then just getting your right back in. Because Matt Doherty, you know what? I'm gutted that this move has basically ruined his career.
It seems, he's definitely not pushed on from his time at Wolves, has he?
No, and it's really upsetting because I loved him in that Wolves team. He had such a massive impact, and I think obviously the difference in play styles has halted his progression, because he would quality it for Wolves, and he's just been a bag of shit for Spurs, let's be honest. Harry Kane, just quickly, yes or no, do you think he will be there next season?
Yep.
Yeah? You don't see him moving, not even to City, not to to anywhere else, no?
No, don't see it. I think he'd have gone already by now.
Yeah?
I think he's committed for Tottenham, and he's happy being at Tottenham.
Fair play. Aston Villa against Fulham. It's kind of the teams. So Aston Villa know what Fulham are going to do because they were in this situation last year, just on the brink of getting out of the playoffs, battling it off, etc. And Fulham were definitely on the rise and in search of points, but they didn't get any here. But I have got faith it'll come down to that final game of the season where we've got Fulham against Newcastle. Imagine the scenes.
It could go there. It could go there. It'll be a great one, because I think all the other talking points of the season will probably be done by then.
Yeah.
So I think it would be the very last thing that would need to be decided would be the last team to get relegated. So it could happen.
I really want it to. Just for a little bit of spice. I mean, Man City have ran away with league. Yeah. Liverpool and Arsenal are battling for mid-table. really don't want to say that. I know Liverpool have moved up to fifth before anyone starts kicking off. It was a joke. But yeah, it's the top end's just boring me now. It's just boring me. I mean, West Ham are the one team I'm looking at in that top end that I'm thinking, go on then, push on. But the rest, I'm sort of like, I don't really care. Man City have ran away with it. United are just going to fizzle out. Leicester have pretty much secured Champions League. They just need to get a few more wins under the belt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really want this relegation to spice up, and I feel like last game at season, Fulham v Newcastle, potential of having fans back as well. Imagine the atmosphere. Could be crazy.
Could be. Could be.
Is there any former... Mitrovic. Imagine if Mitrovic scores against Newcastle to keep Fulham up. Oh.
He never got a proper chance at Newcastle, to be fair.
He didn't, and that would be incredible if Mitrovic is the one to send Newcastle down. That's ridiculous. It'd be great. But speaking of Mitrovic, it is a massive boost to Fulham to have him back, and obviously scored in this game as well when they screwed up.
Yeah.
He had a record-breaking international break as well, becoming Serbia's all-time top goal scorer, scoring 5 goals in just 3 games.
Dinked one past Ireland as well. Great goal.
Yeah. He's quality for Serbia, isn't he, Mitrovic?
Yeah.
He's like a different player.
He has. He's always shown a bit of potential because, obviously, he was young at Anderlecht and got brought across to Newcastle for, I think, was a lot of money. And they just never really hit the ground running. Then obviously he got loaned out to Fulham, and Fulham made it permanent.
Yeah.
But I think he's a good player. Yeah. All right.
I do. Like, I think he's got that bulldog type. He's a bit like a young Troy Deeney, isn't he? Absolutely. He's got like that sort of scary attitude towards it, and could put a few defenders off going in for a challenge with him and stuff like that. Like, he's a big guy. But it's a massive boost to Fulham to have him back. I mean, obviously they didn't win this game, but there's more to come, and as long as they can build up level on points with Newcastle, let's say, into that final game at season, improve the goal scoring rates, improve the goal difference. You never know. In fact, actually, Fulham have got a better goal difference than Newcastle, haven't they?
I believe so.
So, I mean, just don't concede too many goals, and you should be all right. Should be all right. What do you think of Fulham's chances? Do we think they're staying up? Do you think they're going to suffer?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a tough one because I think it's a flip up between them and Newcastle for the last relegation spot. I really do think it's between those two. I don't know. It's literally flip of a coin who stays up between those two in my eyes, but I think Newcastle might just stay up. But
you think Newcastle are going to edge it?
Yeah.
I think Fulham are going to manage it.
They could.
Fulham are the ones I want to see manage it because they deserve it more, let's be honest. Yeah, Newcastle have been piss poor all season. So Fulham at points, but they've got an uplift and they're pulling together now. So, I mean, they deserve it a bit more. And the final team involved in this relegation scrap is Brighton, and they went to Old Trafford and lost 2-1. But Danny Welbeck scored against his former club, Manchester United, for the third time since leaving them.
Wasn't a bad goal, to be fair. It was good reactions with the rebound header. I thought Hendo was unlucky with the initial, but no, it was alright. Took it well.
I'm glad to see Henderson getting consistent game time.
So did I, mate. 10 grand to Carl every time he plays. I'm happy too.
Oh, God. Mason Greenwood looks quite lively from kickoff, and he kept going at it and going at it and going at it, and eventually got himself goal towards end, and it was good, well taken header as well.
Obviously he had a very good season last season. It was like his breakthrough. Then this season seemed to have slowed up a little bit for him, but he's a young player, that sort of stuff's bound to happen. But he looked good, and obviously he took his goal well, header. His first one, I believe it's his first one for the club. I don't remember if
going yeah he was saying that. He was chatting something about practicing his heading behind the scenes. So it's just utter bull, really, isn't it? You just scored an header, mate. Like, oh yeah, I've been working on my heading behind the scenes. Like, no, you haven't. Shut up. You've just got lucky and scored an header. Oh, he probably has been working on his heading, but that's just how I saw
that. Yeah,
he
probably has, you know.
Just how I saw that entire interview. Yeah, I've been working on it behind the scenes. Like, no, you haven't, pal. Shut up. But no, yeah, it's good for him. It's good for him that he's getting amongst goals, because, he needs to needs to show Southgate that he's got another option going forwards. That, I mean, he's got a right headache, Southgate, bless him. Because, I mean, with us doing should I stay or should I go, it gives me a headache. So, and as he's only fictional, mate, we're taking no one nowhere.
But I think Greenwood's probably one of the most natural strikers that we've got. Finisher.
He is.
Greenwood.
Yeah.
Our other option. I think he's extremely natural finisher. Like he's
finishing wise, his pace, I agree, yeah.
And he's got height to him, so he's all round package him. And I think he's going to be top player. And we'll play
for as long as he's used rightly.
Yeah, like, this is where he gets put on the left wing, like Paul Scholes or something daft. But when he's playing right through the middle.
Yep, straight up through middle. Utilise that finishing that he's got. And obviously his height and his pace as well, like you say. He can get in behind, he can win an header. He's been working on them, so he ought to. let's talk about Brighton anyway, because Brighton, they play brilliant football. It's so nice to watch. They move the ball so well, but they just can't get it back in net. And it's like, as a fan, I'd rather play basic football, build up some points, and slowly develop a style of play. But I don't know.
What they do is they play some good football, but they just can't finish at all.
Yeah, but it's dreadful, isn't it?
Like they've just slowed down for goals.
Where's he at? Is he at Forest?
Yeah, he's on loan. Is that signed for Forest or loan on Forest?
Definitely. I don't know. I know he's in Championship. Yeah. But yeah, it just reminds me of like Burnley as an example, because we spoke about this loads. That Burnley can either defend really well, or they can score goals really well, but they can't get a balance of that. And that's what I feel like Brighton are at the minute.
Like, the exact same sort of position when they had Chris Hughton in charge, but they're just playing better football. I think that's all this Brighton is.
Yeah. To be honest. I mean, I'm not saying Graham Potter's doing a bad job, but he's not really progressed anything. He's changed the style of play, which is obviously pleasing for fans to see. But when you're playing that nice, attractive style of play, you're expecting goals at the end of the players, and there's nothing to show for it. So if you play 550 extravagant, amazing passes and please everyone but lose 2-0, you're shit, essentially. you can pass a ball, well done, mate. score.
The matters at the end of the game is one in the top left corner, so it's...
Exactly. But yeah, what are Brighton's chances, do you think? Do you think they're going to get mixed up in it still, or...?
No.
Do you think they've got that little bit of an edge to get out of it?
Yeah.
What, you think they're getting out of it, or...?
Yeah, I don't see Brighton going down. Don't see it at all. Fair play. West Brom, Sheffield United, and either Fulham or Newcastle are going down.
Fair play. I can agree with that. It's definitely between one of them, isn't it? Definitely.
Yeah.
But I suppose we best drop in and see some of our England players, Matt.
Okay. Should I stay or should I go?
So, is there anyone that you want to put forward for this squad to swap out? Before recording, what I did is I put stars next to players I think won't be in this squad come the end of the season. And there's a couple of controversial ones, so do bear with me. I mean, I put a star next to Michael Keane because I don't think he'll be in it. I put a star next to Bukayo Saka, Jesse Lingard, James Maddison, and Jack Grealish. I put a star next to. Because although we really like him and really agree that he should be in this squad and sort of many other people, I don't think Southgate does.
What was that, mate? You broke up a little bit.
I just don't think Southgate wants Grealish in this squad.
I hope that isn't the case, because I want to see Grealish there, because I really, 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 really Jack Grealish, but Only time will tell. So if he gets the call up for the actual Euros, but I hope he goes.
Anyone that doesn't support Birmingham wants Jack Grealish in his England squad, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I mean, is there anyone else that you think needs to go in here to replace someone else, or are we leaving it a week or two, or what? I just wanted to.
No one this week has made me think that they should be getting a sniff at the England team that I can think of.
And do you know what? I seen a brilliant tweet. It tickled me. It was great.
Right.
It was just from some random, no one important, but it said, "It baffles me how the likes of Marcus Rashford, Patrick Bamford, Ollie Watkins, Danny Ings, Callum Wilson are all talked about for an England squad, but Chris Wood never gets a mention."
He's New Zealand.
I just sat and chuckled. I love them sort of people in football. Like, for starters, Chris Wood would not start in front of Rashford. Exactly. Oh, it's funny, isn't it? Oh, it's great. But yes, I think Chris Wood needs to go in ahead of Marcus Rashford. But no, yeah, I agree. I don't think there's anyone that's popping out at the minute that we need to add to it. But I do think we need to maybe look at the defensive options.
Okay.
Kind of in midfield as well. I mean, there's a Calvin Phillips that could potentially get in there.
Yeah.
For someone. Don't know who, though. it's a lot, isn't it? I don't envy Southgate one bit, you know. This is hard.
It is hard.
The England squad just used to name themselves.
Yeah, because we had that little talent. But now we've actually got
these
talent.
Days, it's... Yeah. Well, we've got talent going forwards. I think everywhere else is just... a free for all,
yeah.
Especially centre backs.
Yeah,
I mean Maguire and Shaw look decent.
I like Shaw,
but
really like Shaw,
and Stones as well. I like John Stones.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm not. I'm all right with leaving this for a week or two. See if anyone else pops up, and we'll assess it then.
That's fine with me, mate. Fine with me.
But let's move on into our Foundry 5 for this week. So, with obviously Danny Welbeck scoring against Manchester United, it got me thinking about players who scored goals against their former clubs. So, we're going to do a top 5 of these. Matt, do you have a 5 or you're working from mine?
I've got a 1.
You've got a 1? Who's your 1? Give us your 1.
Adebayor.
Do you know what? He's my number one, and I'm guessing because you've already got one, he's your number one.
I've not had much chance to think about this, but I can think of other players that have scored past their previous goals. But Adebayor is against Arsenal for Man City.
As soon as anyone mentions, oh, you remember when a player scored against the former club, he is the one that comes to mind, on his knees, hands to the ears, in front of the Arsenal fans. Oh my God, it was brilliant, that. The fact that he ran the full length of the pitch is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. So I'll start for my number 5 then. Since I've already got number 1, we'll start from my number 5, which is... See, I struggle with this a little bit. There aren't that many. There aren't that many that are like standout ones like Adebayor. That is just top draw. That I don't think you'll ever beat that. But I've got Cesc Fabregas in at number 5 because there's a goal that he scored for Chelsea against Arsenal in which Petr Cech is in net for Arsenal and passes it to Fabregas, who's playing for Chelsea.
Right.
And Fabregas chips Cech. It's just a really weird scenario. It's like they've swapped teams and one's gifted the other a goal. Oh, it was messed up, but I just had to put it in because of the scenario.
Okay.
Number 4, I've got Rooney against Everton. Ran in front of Everton fans, kissing the United badge. Complete shithousery to the club that he loves, supposedly.
Yeah.
Number three, I've got Van Persie against Arsenal. Yeah, scored after just 3 minutes into game. And then, obviously, at the end of the season, Arsenal had to give him a guard of honour, which just must have been the most awkward situation in the world. Number two, I've got Lampard against Chelsea.
Oh, for City?
Yeah. Record goal scorer, alone from New York City, and silences his beloved fans.
Yeah.
That's my list. That's what I've got. I mean, they're the only ones I could possibly think of.
I think it's easy to name players that have scored past previous clubs, but it's not really meant anything.
That's what I mean. I was trying to find ones that meant something. And obviously, Rooney scoring against Everton is quite a big one because he supports them, he loves them, etc. But he's kissing United badge. Van Persie against Arsenal, he was the captain. There was a whole palaver of that. Lampard against his dream, whatever, his longest serving club record score and all that.
Yeah.
And Bayor just for that full pitch run because that is just incredible. And then Fabregas because the Czech situation. I don't know if it was a hard list, but like you said, there's loads of players that have scored against former clubs, but it's meant nothing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of just
like I was looking online to see if there's anyone that scored against a club that's like got them relegated or something like that they used to play for, but nah, there's none of that. I was quite surprised, to be honest. But yeah, that's my five.
I'm just trying to think. I can't. Like I said, it's easy to think of team players that have scored past the previous teams, but I can't think of anything.
I'm just filling in my five on this list.
Yeah, I've got
just because I don't think we're gonna get another player in there. I mean, if anyone's got any, do feel free to let us know, because I mean, they're the best five that I could come up with and find or anything like that. I mean, there's obviously foreign ones. This is Premier League only. I mean, we've got ones where Carlos Tevez scored against United in FA Cup and stuff like that. But and he ran up to a bench, didn't he? And he celebrated in front of a bench.
Oh, mate. See,
that shit, Osri.
Did you not see I know it's not Premier League, but the League Two play, Accrington and was it Newport?
Oh, we're celebrating in front of a manager.
Recent. Oh, like, what's he called?
Bald guy. I know what you mean.
Yeah, bald guy.
Oh, I know what you mean. And
he's a mainstay. It was at Accrington forever. The new manager came in and got rid of him. Oh, what's he called?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'll find it. But he celebrated directly in front of the manager, didn't he? With his arms out and everything. It was right funny. Kevin Ellison.
I need to think who it was.
Kevin Ellison.
That's him.
Ellison. And Derek Adams was the manager.
Yeah.
But he's had it happen to him before as well, or something. And the manager, anyway, should I say, had it happen to him before. And he got like kicked in face or something, or headbutted or something stupid like that. It's ridiculous. It's funny though.
Yeah, sounds it.
But yeah, that was a good one. I mean, if the thing was across all leagues, I'm sure we could have found loads. There'd have been so many to talk about. I mean, Leon Clark against Chef Wednesday in Steel City Derby is a big one. It's the last time we played well. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of goals out there, but Premier League only, not that many. So that's why I'm hoping Mitrovic nets an hat trick against Newcastle last day of season and gets them relegated. Yeah. And then next time we do this, we're sweet. We're sweet. Mitrovic could be number two instead of Lampard, and Adebayor can stay at number one because he's just that's just complete and utter madness.
Yeah.
But that is everything from us this week. I mean, short and sweet. Couple of games here and there about relegation. I mean, we've got Crystal Palace. Is it Crystal Palace Everton that are playing at the minute?
I believe so.
I can't remember who's actually playing right now. I believe it's... Yeah, Everton against Crystal Palace. They're playing at the moment. Still 0-0. I mean... Is it not? What time does it kick off? Sorry.
6 o'clock.
Oh. It's 25 right to 6 currently.
Listen.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's still 0-0 at the minute. I'm right. But, yeah, that's we're going to go now. My coffee's worn off. I'm getting tired. I need a refill. But, yeah, thank you very much for listening, everyone. Let's do the socials. If you would like to get in touch with us, give us some examples for Foundry Fives to do. Help us out with this England squad or anything of the sort. Do get in touch with us by searching for our Facebook or Twitter.
At Footy Foundry, Footy Foundry.
And be sure to check out our partners, the Beautiful Game Network. You can find them on Twitter by searching for...
At BGNFM.
Actually, just quickly, whilst we're on the topic of BGN, we are going to recommend an article, so to speak, from Ivan Ornelas. Sorry if I've butchered your name there. But it's a really good article that he's done. It's about early Euros predictions. He's done, so he's basically predicted every single game, every single outcome. He's done it for the rest of the Champions League as well, the Europa League. He's basically predicted the remaining tournaments that we've got. And he's so in-depth. He really goes into detail about each game, each fixture, how things might turn out. Obviously, he's got to take certain things into consideration, like certain players might not be injured, certain players are injured, etc. Things happen. But yeah, it's a really, really good read, so I do recommend just popping over there and checking that out, because that is quite a good read. So do check that out and drop Ivan a follow as well. That would be great. And finally, huge thank you to our sponsors, Roughneck Scarves. They are the official scarf provider for the MLS, USL and US Soccer. You can get yourself a custom-made scarf for your team at...
roughneckscarves.com.
And we've got no more Manscaped. So, I mean, if you haven't already bought yourself some Manscaped stuff, tough, because the promotion's run out. It was for the month of March, and if you didn't get it in March, tough shit. It's now April. So, yeah, that's that. Would you like to say goodbye, Matt? Matt, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much for listening. And we'll be back again next week when I've had my coffee. Peace.